Fusion there is. Well, some of you were talking about the commercialism and the misconceptions about Christmas and everything. So we thank God that we know the Christ of Christmas. I was reading some humorous things about some things that kids write to Santa Claus. And one said, "Dear Santa, please text my dad. He has the whole list. I love you." "Dear Santa, Mom is on a diet, so I don't have cookies anymore. Have some of my Cheez-Its instead. They are good, too." My granddaughter, Ella, one night, she was being babysat by a babysitter is older, and she just would not go to bed. She was missing her mom, and they begged her, said, "It's past your bedtime." So the babysitter called her uncle and, kind of pretended it was Santa and said, "Excuse me, Ella won't go to bed." And when she heard that, she made a beeline right into the bedroom and went to bed. And then, little Colin, he was so cute. He was writing out his list and he said why he deserved his gifts. And he said, "I'm a good big brother. I congratulate the other team when they win, and I fold laundry." And then as he put his list, he said, Santa, this one you can get at Walmart.com. It's so cute. But I want to say that a lot of times we give Santa divine attributes. And yet, somehow in our minds, then we start to confuse God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit with our own imaginations or whatever we want to make him. And we also, kind of think that we have to create a naughty and nice list. I was looking at the words to Santa Claus is coming to town. It says, "You better watch out. You better not pout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming in to town. He's watching. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. Now, he sees you when you're sleeping, and he knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sakes." I mean, we give him divine attributes, right? We give Santa divine attributes, and yet sometimes with our Lord and Savior, we kind of treat him the same way. We treat him like a celestial Santa Claus. Are we naughty and nice? Do I deserve to get my prayers answered? Have I been on the good list? And we even have suggestions of how we could be good to earn our Savior's goodness. But you see, that's what religion does. Religion creates lists. And you know the Pharisees, I forgot the exact number, but besides, do you know all the Old Testament rituals that they had to go through to repent for their sins? They had to have feasts and slaughter the animals and all those things to make themselves pure. And yet they would just have to repeat it over and over again because no one can make themselves pure for a holy God. No one deserves his goodness and his greatness. But the Pharisees, besides all those, they started adding more and more and more laws to find how people were good and how they were bad. And any time they'd see somebody who is sick, they would turn around and say, "What did he do? What did he sin or his parents that they're sick?" They were judging by their rules. And no one was ever good enough to receive the goodness of God. And it was hypocritical because neither were they. They were good in their own eyes, but in God's eyes, they were farther and farther away. Jesus came to minister. He came to help the hurting. He came before we deserved him. He came while I was yet a sinner. In Romans 5:8, it says, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I didn't have to get on the nice list before I can accept Jesus as my Savior. Religion might say that to us. And many of us have been scarred by that because we never feel good enough. We feel like we've always failed. So why should I try to come near a holy God? I'm just going to fail. So let me just do my own thing and forget about God. Except when we have a crisis. When we have a crisis, then we come to God and say, God, have mercy on me. Put me on your nice list. Here's my wish list. Make me whole, God. Heal me. Help my children. All these things. God, I have a bill I can't pay. And we start saying, but God, I put in offering last week. I went to church 3 times last year. And we kind of try to present to God our nice list of why he should bless us. But the Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It says in Psalm 133 and 4, this really touched me. It says, if you, Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness. So that we can, with reverence, serve you. Even the ability to serve him is from him. In Romans 3, it says, for all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why last week when I read that, if we needed somebody to teach us about finances, God would have sent an economist. If we needed someone to teach us education, he would have sent an instructor. But we could not make ourselves good enough. We could not get on God's nice list on our own. That's why we needed a Savior. It says God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You know, I was taking a class last semester. And, you know, I know the Lord many years, and I love him. But sometimes we just take things for granted, don't we? And it was startling to me, and he said, and I knew this, but when he said it, it made me really think. He said, do you know when Jesus came to earth, he was 100% human. Why did he do that? Why did he take on the form of flesh to be born in a smelly manger, to go through all the things, like Pastor had said, he went through childhood, he went through adolescence, he had to work and make a living and help his father, he had to be obedient, he had to suffer pain and rejection. You think when he was on the cross that even his father had to turn his back on him because he could not look at sin. That was not just because he was God. He gave up that to come and to die so that we can all get on the nice list of God. It says in the Bible, it says, if you will confess the Lord with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. We're translated from death to life. Not because we've done good works. Not because we could earn it. Not because of any of those things. But because we humble ourselves and say, Lord Jesus, I confess that you are my Savior. I can never be good enough. And Lord, I've even been hurt and rejected sometimes by religion. Religious leaders can hurt us and reject us or be very condescending. But Jesus is accepting and forgiving and giving way before we deserve it. And in John 3:16 and 17, last week our kids did so beautifully, didn't they? The Christmas around the world. It didn't say that God came to save the beautiful, the wonderful, the rich. It says that for God so loved the world, every race, every kindred, every tongue, the prisoners in jail, the people who were unlovely, the people who just turned their back on him and rejected him, the people who turned away from him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He left the treasure of heaven. Come down and become a human to suffer our feelings so that we can identify. We're not just praying to a holy, matchless, magnificent, mighty Father in heaven, but we can know that Jesus went through the same things we went through. He feels the hurt. He feels he must have gotten a cold. Do you ever think of that? Pastor said he must have gotten hungry. He must have had a challenge sometime to obey parents when he knew the Father in heaven. Yet he identified with that. Why? Because he loved us. And because he knew we could never make the nice list. He knew that we would have to accept him as Savior. Yet, now, we have a responsibility. Because once we ask him to be our Savior, once we ask him for forgiveness of sins, now we are his children. And now we don't continue to treat him like Santa Claus. We don't say, God, I got my Christmas wish. I got my miracle. I got my financial breakthrough. I got my healing. My kids are all well. I'm doing great. So I'll see you next crisis. Right? Come on. Let's be honest. It's like the kids, what's going to happen December 27th and 26th? We need to acknowledge, Lord Jesus, I need you every day. Lord, I know I can never earn it, but I do accept it because, you know, in Hebrews it says, Hebrews 2:3 says, how should we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? So now the only one that could take ourselves off of his list is us by not accepting him and by rejecting him and by doing things in our own strength and our own power. You see, we have a responsibility. It's the opposite. We don't make ourselves good enough. But then once we accept him as our Savior, he comes in. It says we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things become new. He takes our sin as far as the east, as far as the west. You know what peace of mind that is? It's tormenting to know that we've hurt somebody or that someone has hurt us. And there's not a natural way sometimes to find the forgiveness, to get on with life, to forgive ourselves, to forgive others. But we have a Savior who went through that. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing. But Lord, I'm not going to let my life get tripped up. I'm not going to reject you. I'm not going to go my own way just because I didn't get what I want all the time or because I was hurt. I love you, Jesus, and I'm going to commit my life to you as Lord and Savior. I'm not going to treat you like a genie that's just there that I can rub a bead or do something to make a magic happen. You are my God. I bow before you humbly. That's all he asks. And then he gives us the power to live a life that is full of grace and beauty. And you know the lie of Satan? The lie of Satan is that God's going to cheat you. You come to God, he's got a big list. And you're going to just have no fun in your life. You are going to have a miserable life if you come to God. And you know what? We go our own way, and then we find out our own way took us down a trail that was absolutely miserable when God had a full life for us. And it says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow, because there's not a selfishness in it. And even when we do suffer, we suffer for righteousness' sake. And the glory of the Lord will rest upon us. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a religion. It's not something you or I can make up in our mind or just dismiss. We have to decide, what do we do with the Savior? What do we do with his sacrifice? How do we treat the Savior of all the world? Am I going to just treat him like a genie? What's the motivation of my heart? We were talking about this week. What is the motivation why I serve him? Why is it? Just so I can go to heaven? Just so I can get good things? Just so I can get my prayers answered? Problem with that is then when we don't get our own way, we're like, well, I'm done with you, Santa. I'm done with you, God. But that's not the way it works. We're going to be held responsible. And I just want to challenge us all. If we have misconceptions, maybe we've been taught the wrong way. Maybe we've been violated. Maybe we've listened to myths and tales and false religions and things that paint our Jesus in a way that he is not. You know, he came as a babe, but one day he's coming back as Lord and Savior, as King, as triumphant. And he is Lord of all. Make no mistake about it. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. When he went back to heaven, he left his Holy Spirit for us to help us in this journey. We need help in this journey. We can't do it alone, but he's right there. So I pray that this Christmas, you'll find the real Jesus. He's no longer the babe in a manger, but he had to come that way. He had to come and live the life here to identify with us. But after he rose from that grave, after his death on the cross, he rose from the grave. No one else has ever left an empty tomb. Hallelujah. Jesus. Lazarus did when Jesus called him from the dead. And one day we will all vacate our tombs if the Lord doesn't come before we pass. But this is a joyous message. It's not a sad message. But I just want to challenge you. I sense that some people, people have been talking to you about the real Jesus. But somehow in your mind, there's like a picture show or slides that go back to religion or things that hurt you or answers to prayer you didn't get. And you can't somehow piece in your mind together the Savior who loves you and who came to this earth with unbelievable love, the God so loved the world, and Jesus that you know. Pastor and I have been praying, and the church has been praying. Let me tell you, on Wednesday nights, we get down. We get down to prayer. We get down and we pray, and we're praying that if that's the image you have of Jesus, that it would radically change. Like Paul, the apostle, he was really a terrorist before then, but he thought he was doing a good thing. He was on the road to Damascus, and he saw the risen Savior, and it changed his life. It turned him around. And can you imagine if he didn't find the grace of God to know that you were standing there when Stephen was martyred for his faith, and you were behind those plans? He had to have the Lord forgive his mind and heal him. And he became one of the greatest apostles. I don't know what you've done. I don't know if you've gone to jail. I don't know if you've cheated someone. I don't know if you've done the worst. But let me tell you, when the Spirit of God comes on you, this is no fairy tale. This is no figment of my imagination. He could give you a brand new life. And what a joy it is. You know, many of you know my testimony that several weeks ago in November, and I'm sure my Andrella can relate to this because she went through a trauma this year, but out of nowhere, I just was scheduled to go speak at a retreat in Tennessee. And on Monday, for 3 or 4 days, my daughter Lori kept telling me, go check your blood pressure. Go check your blood pressure. I was like, Lori, I've had this before. I just have a little pain here. And I've had, my machine broke anyway. So that was a good excuse. She kept texting her father, tell mom to check her blood pressure. So now I'm so sick of hearing her that I said, all right, I'm going to go to CVS. She said, go to CVS. And I put my hand in the machine, and my blood pressure was 181. So I said, oh, stupid machine, it's broke. So I said, David goes, you know what, this is wrong. Let me put my hand in. 119 over whatever. His was perfect. Okay, take it again. Very high. So he goes, you know, I think we should go to the walk-in clinic next door. So I said, okay. Now, I have what they call white coat hypertension. Does anybody know what that is? Yeah, my blood pressure actually elevates 20 to 30 points in the doctor's office. So I go in the doctor's office, and now it was over 200. over 200. It's a miracle of God. I didn't have a stroke. Or if I had gotten on that plane 2 days later with that blood pressure, I could have died. They send me immediately to emergency. And thank God for Florida hospitals. I have scriptures everywhere. Right, Regina? Thank them for me. She works with Florida Hospital. Anybody else? So I walk in the emergency room, and there's a scripture right above the walls. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, I am so glad that I know Jesus as my personal Savior. That it wasn't just a moment of, Jesus, I want you as my Savior in case I'm dying. I'm glad I could ask him to touch me and heal me. But my heart, our hearts were peaceful even though we were concerned. Make no mistake about it. We were concerned. And thank God it turned out that my heart was okay. But I thank him that in those moments, he was right there with me. You know, there's a story of a soldier that they were not supposed to go out at night. And he used to go out in the woods to pray. And so one night his commanding officer came and he said to him, he said, where were you? I came by here, you weren't here. And he said, sir, he said, I was in the woods praying. And the commanding officer says, a likely story. He said, get down and pray. And now this man who had been praying got down and continued right where he was. And he started to pray. And his commanding officer said, now I know you're telling the truth. You see, when you trust God in the good times, when you trust him, when you get to know him more and more, if you really like somebody, you know, can I make a Christmas confession? We have to love everybody, right? That's what we're commanded. But there are some people I think I like a little bit more than others. I think I like them more than others. Have to love everybody. But certain personalities, we get along better, right? But, you know, if you really love somebody and you really like them, you want to get to know them. You don't want to just use them. What if my husband came home to me and said, what are you cooking? Is my laundry done? You know, are my socks clean? It wouldn't go over too well, right, honey? Well, what would happen if I said to him, just bring your paycheck home? That's awful. What if our kids just gave us a wish list? What if they came with their nice list? What if they came with their Christmas list? And they could care two bits about us, but they just wanted gifts. Doesn't that hurt? As our children mature and people who love us mature, they like us whether or not we can even afford to give them a gift. You know, my husband said to me, I had a friend that I had to disappoint this week, and it really hurt me, but I had no choice. And I wrote her an email, and I apologized, but I didn't hear from her. And I said, hun, I said, you know, I don't know. I may have disappointed her, and maybe she didn't understand why I couldn't do this. And he looked at me, and he said, if she's really your friend, and she knows you for 30-something years, she will know. P.S., I get an email from her this morning. That was so sweet. But you see, if we really know somebody, if we really love them, we understand even when we don't get our way, when we don't get exactly what we want, we understand that they're there with us, that their hearts are with us. It doesn't matter what they give or don't give us, that they are with us. And I just pray that this Christmas, Pastor is going to come up and just bring a close to this. But, you know, we pray that if you've never received Christ as your Savior, you won't leave this building today. We're not going to call you up front, but we are going to pray with you. And we have some beautiful, beautiful Bibles that have been donated to us. and they have Catalyst Community Church. If you don't have a Bible, we want to bless you with one. We have some New Testaments. We have some little pamphlets that explain the way of salvation. If you've never accepted Christ, we're going to pray with you right now. You could come up, hon. And also, for those who have just treated our Savior like a celestial Santa Claus, please be honest. Please be honest. And find the real Jesus. Find the real Savior who loves you unconditionally and who gave his life for you. Pastor?
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Angela. Thank you. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Lord, we pray right now that by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you would just drive this one strong message, one strong thought home to us as to whether or not we have a real relationship with you. Because in the end, that's what really matters. We can say that we know some celebrity. We can say I'm a fan of so-and-so. But that celebrity may not know you at all and may not ever think about you. But when you're related to Jesus Christ, it's not just from a distance. Somebody say amen. It's close. It's personal. It's like a husband and wife who really love each other. It's like a mom and dad who really, really love their children. Children who really, really love their parents. But it's even a thousand times better than that. Because earthly loves have been known to fail. And sometimes, as Angela said, we don't always, you know, we can't always measure up to everybody else's expectations. Sometimes we disappoint people. But Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Do you know him? In this Christmas season, it is the, it's the elephant in the room. With all the glitter and all the decorations like we saw in the video. Do you know Jesus? Will you let him get to know you? It's a two-way thing. It goes both ways. Will you stick around with him long enough so that he can really work in your life? Will you be with him Monday morning? After Christmas, after everything dies down, in the quiet moments, will you still love him? After the crisis, like Pastor Angela said, after the crisis, will you still serve him? Will you be loyal to him? If there's a person here today who said, I want to make room in my heart for Jesus, I want Jesus, the real Jesus, not Santa Claus, not the myth, but the Christ who came in Bethlehem, who died on the cross, who rose from the dead, the one who gave his life for me so that I could have all of my sins forgiven and have a seat at God's table, that Jesus. I want to know him. While every head is bowed, every eye closed, but I'm going to just ask you if you would like to be included in this prayer. Just raise your hand. I want to make room for Jesus in my life. Is there one today? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. Is there somebody else? I want to make sure that I'm loyal to God, that I know him, whom to know is life eternal. The proud, the Bible says he has turned away, but he has revealed himself to the humble. Will you humbly say, I need Jesus? God is speaking to you, my friend. Sir, ma'am, young person, God is speaking right here. Is there one more who would say, yes, I want to make room for Christ in my life? This is your opportunity to turn the direction of your life towards God. Yes, yes, I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, let's say this prayer together. Everyone from your heart, if you want to pray with me to invite Christ into your life, and everyone else who already knows Jesus, let's all pray it so we can encourage those who don't. All right? Lord Jesus, we honor you today You are the Son of God who gave your life for the sins of the world. There is no other plan of salvation. There is no other way that I can know you except through the forgiveness of my sins, by trusting that you paid the price to take away my sins. I confess today that it was your blood shed on Calvary's cross that paid for my sins. I accept what you did for me, and I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. I want to begin a relationship with you, Jesus. I want to pray to you. I want to talk to you. I want to understand the Bible. I ask you, Holy Spirit, let Jesus be born in my heart from this day forward. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 and amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, Brother Lanre is in the back, and afterwards you can take a Bible or one of these pieces of literature. This one's called No Greater Love. Greatest love this world has ever known is the love of God. If you're in here today and you say, you know what, in my imagination, I imagine an ideal world. I imagine, you know, relationships that don't go sour. I imagine an ideal situation where there's genuine love that is reciprocated, but I've never seen it. You're skeptical. Don't raise your hand, but there's some skeptics in here. I want to tell you that His love is real. His love is what you've been looking for. I've been walking with Him now for 50 years, and He's never failed me. I recommend Him to you today.